Good afternoon. So, we are in Siman Sadi Dalet. Last time we finished off with Siv Vav. Before we go on to Zion, I'd like to present a Shaila that relates to Siv Vav. So, a while back, Yaakov Feit calls me slightly before Shabbos, and he says, we cut our onion with a milchik knife, and put the onion into the soup, chicken soup. What's the halacha? So this reminded me of a famous Ramu story, more or less the same story, but a little different. We'll see maybe some differences. That's why I present both. Rabbi Willig, they were having the Kushalevskis for Shabbos. Tzvi Kushalevsky, the famous Rosh Yeshiva. I don't remember who. He said one of his sons. I think he said Avram. Decided to help for the challenge, but like all young yeshiva bachim, didn't really know what he was doing, so he took a knife out of the drawer, not knowing what drawer it was, and for some reason he was using like a regular, like, you know, table knife, and he cut an onion, throws it in the challenge. Turns out it was a milchig knife. Oh no. So what do you do? It's now Shabbos day. The main dish is chalent. The chalent has an onion in it. The onion was cut with a milchik knife. So what do we do? Is there any hope? So you need shishim in the onion. There's no way there's shishim in the onion. This is not a huge chalent, right? There's no way there's shishim in the onion connected to the onion. But in light of our simon, do you really need shishim connected to the onion? No. What do you need shishim connected? The knife, right? Because there's no chanan, the knife is heter. So you need shishim connected the knife, not the whole knife, but how much of the knife? Part of the knife.
You
dice the onion into 100 pieces, but still you know that there could be no more blios in this chalan than the blade of the knife, right? Now, assuming that the blade of the knife is smaller than the onion, which it is usually, right? So if you have, so therefore you don't think about the onion anymore, let's think about the knife. Since you have, if you have shishim keneged the blade of the knife, then you're okay. So now, that might have been okay. However, on Shabbos morning, it is very hard to calculate whether or not there's shishim keneged the blade of the onion. So maybe yes, maybe no. Okay, suffix on your dia maybe. So we can't rely on that. Even if you say it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, because we'll see, there are those, as we talked about earlier, that say the whole idea of Mechalya Leila Shvach, because remember, the knife was Mistama Eino Ben Yomo unclean, but Mechalya Leila Shvach Becharif is a Din D'Rabbanan. So maybe we could have said Safik D'Rabbanan Lahakel, and therefore Safik Shishim to be Mekel, but that's what we know. We know Safik Shishim Yafi Machmir, right? Theoretically, you could actually measure this. You could figure out the displacement of the blade, and figure out the volume of the chalent, and figure out if there's shishim. That's not something you could easily do on a Shabbos morning, but we can't be mekel, because safek d'rabbanan makula, because that would be a safek sanidia. But at least something to keep in mind, right? There may actually be shishim. Do we have any other tzadim lahaka? So, Willick says, well, who says that this knife is actually milchik's? What do you mean? I took it out of the milchik drawer. So let's think about it. A kitchen knife, so as I said, in this case it happened to be a knife that they use at the table, you usually use with things that are klisheni, right? But one second, what about the marshal? You go ahead, you have a lasagna, right? I use a milchik knife to cut my lasagna. My lasagna, it's true, it's a klisheni, but it's davar gush. However, as we mentioned before, that we paskin, at least Rabbi Willig thinks we paskin, that we b'diavad are mekel keneged the marshal, as you see in Siman Sadi Dalet, the Rama disagrees with the marshal. Now, even though the Taz, also in Siman Dalet, says we're machmir by davar gush in conjunction with dochi de sakina, we also don't accept that. At least b'diavad, we could be mekel, and since it's a klisheni, so maybe we would be okay. Right now, I asked him when he told me this story. This is a famous story. But I said, one second, but let's say you use the knife to go to the lasagna pan and to cut the lasagna pan. She said, I didn't think that happened. Apparently, they don't have much lasagna at the Willard family house. So great. So now, if you only use this knife in a klisheni, then b'diavad is it really a melchix? No, in which case your knife's okay. You're fine. Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Can you assume it's...
So he thought, I mean, you have to, you know, you could ask the people of the household. He said that that was a reasonable assumption, except the following problem. What's the problem? Microwaves. Right? Let's say, so it's true, I go ahead when I have my lasagna and I eat it on a klisheni. Right? But when I want to reheat my lasagna, so what do? I put my lasagna onto a plate. I put the plate into a microwave. This was, Ray Willig said, he thinks that they had a microwave at this time. So you put your lasagna in the microwave. Now the lasagna is a kli rishon, right, on the plate. And so if you eat your lasagna on your plate with this knife, which is not a far-fetched scenario, so now you have to be machmir, right? You don't have the ramah to be somechan. So maybe you'll say, remember when we talked about Siman Pei Zayin, we declared about, is basar b'chalav d'oraisa in the microwave? Maybe yes, maybe no. But the truth is, even if we say no, that doesn't really affect the shayla. L'maisa, it's milchix and it's a kli rishon. So I said, well, maybe you could have the, he said, do you have any tzadim l'hakel for a microwave? So I said, maybe based off of the chavos das, especially the chavos das. Why? Because how does a microwave work? Does it heat the plate? No, it's not like a pot. The pot heats, the fire heats the pot. Here, the microwave heats the food. The food heats the plate, right? That's why the plate isn't hot in the place where there's no food. That's the great geschmack of a microwave. Something, the food's boiling hot, the plate's still cold. It's not like if you put a plate of food into an oven. If you put a plate of food into the oven to warm up and you took it out with your bare hands, you'd burn your hands. But a microwave, so it only heats the liquid in the food. So memela, the plate is cold. So what, especially if you learn like the chavos das, what's the vart in kli rishon versus kli sheni? Kli rishon is dofnos of mischamimos. Here, there's no dofnos of mischamimos. The plate might be hot, but that plate is hot machmas the food. It's not the pshat that the food is hot machmas the plate. So even if you question whether you have dofnos of mischamimos, you don't have dofnos of mischamimos. But the truth is, it's not such a great Dechia. Why? Because when the food was in the microwave, so it's true, the plate initially became hot through the food. Naniach. But now the food is a source of heat, right? The food gets hotter and hotter and hotter as the microwave goes on and it heats up the plate more and more and more. Just like we say that the fire is the source of heat for the pot, and therefore the pot's a kli rishon, so to here, the source of heat might be the food, but lemaisa, as it's heating, it should make the plate very hot, such that even when you take it out, the plate might be dofnos of mischamimos, right? So that's a shvatha kula.
There's no dofnos on the plate. There's a bottom. There's no dofnos on the bottom of the plate.
Okay, so the bottom. That's the question. That's the point.
That mischamimos. It has to maintain the heat.
It's not. You know, the question is, do you have dofnos of mischamimos or not? The answer is, you might not have dofnos of mischamimos here, because the part where there's a dofen is not mekarer because it was heated directly from the source of heat. So that's not such a good kula. Lemaisa, Rabbi Willig was mako. Not only that, Sidr Tzvi ate the chalet. So what's based off of what? Number one is, it sounds like, as I mentioned, they don't have so much lasagna in the Willig family. So they probably didn't reheat. He didn't think that there were things that they heated up in a microwave that were really milchix. I don't know what they used the microwave for. It's not coffee.
They didn't use a single thing in the microwave.
They used with knife. So, A, not clear the knife was really a kli, ever caught a kli rishon. B, there's a good chance, as we said, that there was shishim. C, as we've discussed earlier, many disagree with this whole idea, even though it's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch, that the davar charif is mechalia l'shvach and makes everything that touches it, even if it's eno ben yomo, and therefore lemaisa based off of those three factors. So Rabbi Willig was mako. Yes.
Two questions. So based on this last point,
If it was anything else that wasn't an onion, it wasn't carved, there'd be no question. Be
then there's nothing to talk about.
Not that
you don't even need that. I mean, you're less than.
Probably the vanilla, that would probably.
Yeah, and also if it happens to be it's not carved, then it's not. I mean, we'll see when we get to the denim of knives, but it won't. A clean knife will not, and we're going to assume that our knives are clean. Oh, I promised Alex we'd get back to this, so we're going to get to it in a moment. But Lamaisa, even though in our simon coming up in the Siv Zion, we're going to see that the Shulchan Aruch assumes that, and the Rishonim, and maybe the Gemara assumes that a stam knife is dirty, right? The Shamnun is Davak Alav, even though clean, a plate will assume is clean, but a knife is dirty. Nevertheless, Halach Lamaisa, we assume that our knives are clean. It's I, the Shulchan Aruch, so when I say we, again, Rabbi Willick's Psak, says, Lamaisa, chuk shmak chesh, you look at any knife, you take any knife out of your drawer and you touch it, you will not find shamnunis karash al gagav, at least not in a, it's not any more likely than you'll find it on a plate or a bowl or a spoon. So Lamaisa, we will assume, and this is, again, this is going to be relevant for Sif Tzayin, Rav Willig thinks, not all poskim agree, some say, it's Shulchan Aruch, can't, but Rav Willig thinks, no, Lamaisa, chush makrish, our knives are all clean.
It depends which household.
It depends which household, you're right. But min hastam, if you're in a household where clean knives are actually clean and don't have shanunis karsh al gabav, then you have the right to assume that the knife was clean. In which case, if you're not, and again, simon tzadi vav, we're going to get back into the details of the halachos of knives. But lamaisa, if it's not davar charif, so there's nothing to talk about. Pashtus. But because it's davar charif, two bad things happen. Number one, you have to be concerned about blios. Number two, you have to be concerned about mechalei l'shvach.
And blios, even though it's cold and cold by the rechayot.
Yes.
Still...
So we'll see more on that. But yes, that's it's known shachatcho. So that's the two readings of Rashi. We'll get there. But yes.
The shulchan aruch mako, if you wash it with ashes, that it's poking. Does that apply for blios also?
Oh, that's a really important question. We're going to talk about that, the Simon Sadi Hay. That's the Starbucks, Shaila. We'll get there.
So,
Simon Sadi Hay.
Can you be making for that in the case of the onion?
Oh, good question. Very good. We'll talk about it. Now, what you're suggesting, which A, makes a lot of sense, but B, is a big chiddush, is that basically every single one of our kelim are pagumim. But that's still not going to help for charif. It's mechayel l'shvach. So you're saying, no, when is it mechayel l'shvach? That's when it's just because it's eno ben yomo. But if it's nifgam through something else, who says? Good question. We'll get there. Ezus Hashem. So that is definitely a factor we'll have to consider. Okay, good. So that's the maisa. Let's turn to Sif Zion. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Basar roseach shechatcho besakin cholaves, you cut a piece of hot meat with a milchig knife, kol achaticha asura, im ein bashishim keneged makom besar asakin shechatach bo. The whole piece of meat is asur. I go ahead, I take a steak, a hot steak right out of the oven, I cut it with a piece of, with a knife, that's milchigs. The whole steak becomes asur if there isn't shishim keneged the knife. So now, the question here is, why the whole steak asur? All I should need is a netila, right? There's no rotev here, it's not being cooked, there's no bishul. We know from Simon Kofei that when that's not an issue of bishul, it's an issue of tzli. Here, l'chor, it's tzli, everything is dry, dry piece of meat, dry knife. So, netila should be enough. So what is the basis of the Shulchan Aruch, which comes from Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Tur Tzmak? So the first answer to this question is given by the Prisha. He says, well, this piece of meat was mevushal. It's not a steak that was roasted. It was a steak that was cooked in a sauce. And therefore, it's very moist. And because the moisture is there, just like bishul, we assume everything transfers throughout. So too, here, the blios and the knife are going to transfer throughout. It's a big okimta, and it's also against, as the priest himself notes, what we seem to paskin and sim in kofei, which is that it doesn't matter if something is cooked. You know, if you cooked a potato in water and you took it out and it touched something else, so that's treated as tzli. So that's a very difficult answer, which, as you noted, none of the poskim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch quote. The Beis Yosef in Sif Ches addresses this question, and he answers, very simple answer, Dochka de Sakina is different. In other words, an amazing chiddush. It's true if you have a nevela that touches a shchuta, both of them very, very hot. So unless it's shamein, we assume it only goes in a tila. But that's because they just touched each other. But if you have dochka de sakina, then kulo aser. Now maybe the source for this is the Gemara that you've probably already seen, bottom of Kufyat Aleph on the base, going to Kufyat Beis Amid Aleph. Tznon shechatcho besakin, shechatach babasar. You cut a radish with a fleshig knife. Aser lo ochlo bekutach. You can't eat this radish bekutach. Why? So the Beis Yosef might say that's because, okay, it's charif plus dochka de sakina. And maybe the Gemara is saying you can't eat the whole radish. Right? In other words, the whole radish becomes fleshiks. So likewise, when you cut this hot piece of meat, so it's not charif, but it's hot, you cut this hot piece of meat with the milchik knife, the whole thing becomes aser, just like tznon shechatcho besakin. Maybe that's the pshat in the Beis Yosef's answer. The problem is that that can't be. Maybe you could have read the Gemara that way, that the entire tznon shechatcho besakin is treated as fleshiks. But the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, as we'll see, in Simen Tzadi Vav Sif Aleph, is only a netila of the tznon becomes fleshiks. In other words, even dochka de sakina does not allow the spreading of blios yoser mechdei netila. So why over here does the Beis Yosef say dochka de sakina causes the blios to spread throughout the piece of meat? You need shishim keneged the entire sakin. If, after all, in Simen Tzadi Vav, which is basically the source in Shas for dochka de sakina, we see that dochka de sakina only causes blios to transfer bichdei netila. So I would say over here too, the basar that you cut with the milchig knife should only be aser bichdei netila. So maybe the Beis Yosef is saying, no, dochka de sakina pushes it beyond its limits. That's what dochka de sakina does. Whatever, wherever it would go naturally, dochka de sakina pushes it farther. So in the case of tznon shechatcho besakin shel basar, really the blio shouldn't go anywhere. Or maybe a klipa. So comes along dochka de sakina and pushes them to a netila. Now here, even without dochka de sakina, how much should be aser? A netila, because it's hot. Rosea. So therefore, the dochka de sakina pushes it kulo. A bit of a chiddush. Maybe you would have said, okay, then it should be two netilos. Who says kulo? Right? And not only that, but we're saying kulo as a chumra, that it's kulo aser, but we're also saying kulo as a kula, because we say if there's shishim kenagdo, then it's mutter. But maybe that's what the Beis Yosef says over here. The Beis Yosef says that dochka de sakina pushes it beyond its limits. So if naturally it would go in netila alts the heat, netila, or heat, plus dochka de sakina, aser's kulo. The Shach asked this question as well, and he gives three answers. The first answer is the Beis Yosef's answer. This is the Shach Sifkatam Chav Zayin. And then he gives two more answers. The second answer, he says, is that Distam sakin hu balua gamken mishanunis chema v'chiyagavna, meaning to say this knife, stam, mistama, is balua with what? With davar shamein. And therefore, we know that even though tzli, usually how far does tzli go? An atila, but tzli shamein, how far does it go? Kulo. So mistama, this knife is balua with davar shamein, milchik shamein. What's an example? Milchik shamein, chema, butter. Right? If it's a milchik knife, Mishama used it for butter, hot butter. And therefore, goes far. Now, this answer of the Shach is making an assumption, which is that blios that are shamein are mifapeya bekulo. Just like if you have mamasha shel shamein, it's mifapeya bekulo. Right? If you took a hot piece of meat and a hot piece of butter, we assume that the butter spreads throughout the piece of meat, because butter is shamein. So too, blios that are shamein, because here the knife is just absorbed with chema, blios that are shamein are also mefabein. Now, if you remember, in Simin Kuf Hei, Sif Katan Chaf Gimel, the Shach was misupik about this point. Or is it Magen Avraham who said, no, Shach was misupik. Do blios that are shamein, are they mefapea like mamash shal shamein? So this answer of the Shach is assuming that they are. The Shach seems to be misupik about this throughout. And therefore he in a number of places, hedges his bets on this Shiloh. So you see here, it's one of three answers. Right, later on in the Ar Simon in Sifkat and Lamid Gimel, he seems to be note that it's Eino Mispashet, and Simon Kofei is Mesopik. So the Shach seems to not be Machwi on the Shiloh, but basically what he's saying is if you hold that Balua Shamen is Mifapea, so here I'll tell you that Mistama, this knife, is Balua Bishamen. Good. Answer number three. Inami, Mairi Shabasar Shamein, Uvidavar Shel Shamein, we know it is Mefapeya. In other words, even if the knife isn't Balua Bidavar Shamein, the knife goes into the meat is likely or might be Shamein, and therefore that meat causes the milchic blios to spread throughout. Okay, so now there's a fundamental difference between answer number one, Dolko de Sakina, and answer number two and three. Meaning to say that according to the answer Dolko de Sakina, so we're saying that when you have Dolko de Sakina plus Davar Cham, it's Mifapeya Bekula. Whereas answers number two and three reject that. They say no, Dolko de Sakina isn't relevant here. When Dolko de Sakina is relevant, maybe to get it in an Atila, right? Like you have the case of Tznon, Shechatcho, Bisak and Shalbasa. But Dolko de Sakina does not take blios and spread them throughout the piece. That's what answers 2 and 3 assume. And therefore, answers 2 and 3 come up with some other principle that we know from Kofhei, Mithapea, Shamin, Mithapea, to explain this halacha. So again, answers number 1 verses 2 and 3 argue about what is it that Dolko de Sakina is capable of doing. Is Dolko de Sakina capable of spreading things throughout? If you look at the Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyon on this halacha, he cites that the Rashba B'Shem HaRaivid holds that it's only B'Chiyai Gavna, should only be Asar Kedei Netila, and the Rashba Paskins accepts this Raivid. In other words, the Rashba Raivid assume, presumably, that Dolko de Sakina does not spread blios throughout. And maybe we paskin like that Rashba. After all, if you think the Rashba and arrived at arguing with Rabbeinu Peretz, who says you paskin like a Rabbeinu Peretz, the Pri Chadosh is mesupik about that. So again, we have a machlokes, which might be a machlokes Rishonim, Rabbeinu Ephraim versus the Rashba, whether Dolko de Sakina spreads things throughout, or maybe even within Rabbeinu Ephraim. It's a machlokes between the first answer of the Shach versus the second and third answer of the Shach. Now, L'chora, it's very, according to answers 2 and 3, if you accept them, meaning to say you believe that Dolko de Sakina does not cause the blios to spread throughout, and mistama, there's some chema here, or maybe the meat's shamein, so there's a very big shverkite in the Shulchan Aruch to say that way. Why? Again, let's read the formulation of answer number 2. Odi Shlomer the Stam Sakin who Balua Gamken Mishamnunis Shochema Vihigabna, which would have to be Balua Ben Yomo, right? Stam? Who knows? Maybe yes, maybe no. Now, as we said, this Vart of Rabbeinu Peretz, the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, is a big Chumrah, yes, if you don't have Shishim Kineged the knife, Kulo Aser, but it's also a big Kula. Because what would I have thought, let's say, that it doesn't have Chema in it, right? Let's say it's not Balua Bedavar Shamein. So how much would it aser according to the second answer? A netila probably. So, and there's not mistama, there isn't shishim in the netila connected to sakin, and yet we're being matir based off of that. Now, if you think like the first answer, the base of the shach, if you learn like the basis, understand, okay, that's the metzias. The metzias is, we know, dolko de sakina causes it to spread throughout. So I'll accept that chiddush in metzias, bein lakula, bein l'chumra. Right? But if I just think that the basis of the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is because mistama you used chela, well, maybe you didn't. So how could the Shulchan Aruch pass in this lahakel? So I think that's a big maila in terms of at least explaining the psak of the Shulchan Aruch to explain like answer one versus answer two and three. Now, another problem is that we know that in Simen Kuf Hei, we're choshesh, that even if you have something shamein, that it's not mispashe pekulo. We're choshesh, basically based off of the Rashba, that you need at least a klipa. So, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says over here also, in Siv Zayin, that if it's Eino Ben Yomo, so we assume that there are no blios in the knives we have to worry about, but we assume the knife is still dirty. There's a little bit of shamnunis. You need a klipa, right? Because the shamnunis doesn't become nifsal, doesn't become nosin tamufkan after 24 hours. So therefore you need a klipa. So why is it that you don't need a klipa here? Now there's a psak of the Shulchan Aruch seems to be that if it's ben yomo and you have shishim, mutter, 1 second. A, I'm asking, if you hold like the second and third answer of the shach, you should still need a netila. And even if you hold the first answer of the shach, shouldn't you still need a klipa? So the taz is in a chanami, you do need a klipa. And the shach says, well, maybe the Torah doesn't need it, that explains the bach. And there are some rishonim, like the Ra'ah, who disagree with that rashba, but in the end of the day, the shach also agrees, bottom line, in a chanami, you'll always need a klipa. Now there's even though the Shulchan Aruch sounds like if it's ben yomo, it's mutter, b'shishim, that doesn't mean mutter legamre, it means klipa. But as we said, even if you accept the shach and etaz, that you need a klipa, if there's shishim, it's still a kiddush. Maybe you should still need netila l'chanra. So the Pri Chadash actually says that. The Pri Chadash says you need a netila even if there's shishim. And the Pri Megadim claims at one point that even Netaz would agree that you need a netila. It's very difficult because Netaz doesn't sound that way, but he claims maybe even Netaz says you need a netila.
He's saying you need besides shishim klipa, does not have a klipa.
Yeah, it's lav dafka klipa, but it's like a little strange to say that when the shach says, when Netaz says klipa, it's lav dafka klipa. But yes, that's what the Pri Megadim wonders. Okay, but again, if you learn like answer two and three, in the shach, it's a big chiddush to say you don't need a netil as well. Again, that does seem to be the psak of the shach, but it's a big chiddush. On the other hand, answer number one is a very big chiddush because we don't find Doch de Sakina doing this, like we said. And moreover, just the Metzius is a little spare. Because why should the docha de sakina affect more than the netila? In other words, what does docha de sakina mean? It means that there's pressure from the knife, right? When you use a knife to cut something, so that creates pressure. So I could say, okay, the pressure creates a higher level of blia transfer. Okay, I could live with that. But when you're cutting a piece of knife, hot meat with a knife, so okay, so within a netila, I understand it's higher pressure. But just imagine, are you going to say that there's more pressure like 3 inches away from this knife, right? It's a big chiddush that docha de sakina should have a koach to affect the blios 3 inches away from where the knife is. So that's why really answer number one is a big chiddush. Now, the shach continues, and he asks, well, why is this different than Simen Tzadi Vav, where we say that you only need a netila? Now again, L'chora, that kasha is only a shaila on answers number one and two, right? If you learn like answer number three, that it's the basar is shamein, so that spreads everything, so I understand why it's different than Simen Tzadi Vav. But if you learn like answer number one and two, so just like the shach's asking, just like docha de sakina over here causes it to spread throughout, so too that should happen tzadi vav. Or just if you're going to assume that a knife min astam is belu b'davar shamein, and that's what causes it to spread out, so let's say the same thing, and it's known that the knife min astam is belu b'davar shamein. So what does the shach answer? V'afal gav de l'kaman reishim in tzadi vav. So that's his answer. So the answer is charfa ditznon is plus docha de sakina equals netila, but docha de sakina plus cham roseach is kulo. Good. Now, the Ramah continues and says a fascinating point. If this piece of meat is on a klisheni, right? You cut your meat with a milchik knife, not on the pan in which it was roasted, but on a plate, so it's a klisheni. So then, what's the halacha? Habasar tzarech klipa, and the sakin needs ne'itza bekarka. So first of all, as we noted, the Ramah here is Lashitaso. He disagrees with the Marshal, and he is a Behater. Even for Davar Gush, we say Klisheni. And as we're not going to go through this again, as we talked about, the Marshal says no, it retains its status of a Klisheni, even on a plate. We mentioned the Bach's Shara. Fine. But even within the opinion of the Ramah, so the Ramah says this is a din of a Klisheni, right? Even though it's Gush. Wonderful. So why do you need a Klipa? L'chora, I would have said that the Ramah holds that klisheni is nothing. So, you shouldn't even eat a klipa. Why does the Ramah here say, if the meat, again, what's the halacha that the Ramah says, you cut a hot piece of meat on klisheni with a milchik knife, you need a klipa. I would say you need nothing, it's klisheni. So what's the reason? Why do you need a klipa? So, l'chora, there are two possibilities. Number one, if you look at the Lashon of the Toras Chatas, at the end of Klal Samech Aleph, when he cites this, he writes that the Basar needs Ktsas Klipa. What in the world is Ktsas Klipa? Klipa, after all, is the smallest amount that we could have. And, I mean, there's Greira, but what does Ktsas Klipa mean? So, there are some that understand that Ktsas Klipa implies it's just a Chumrah. Meaning to say, like we thought, really, you don't need even a klipa. But because there's shamnunis on this knife and it's still hot, so okay, chumra, take a ktsas klipa.
It depends, but ktsas is not fine. Svira klipa.
Right, okay. Even, I hear what you're saying, but maybe either way. Even if it's tzricha, so you the chumra, even if it's a klipa, so there's no such thing. If you really needed a klipa, you wouldn't say ktsas klipa. So elamai. Now, Lemaisa, though, the Ramah doesn't say that in the Shulchan Aruch. Might make sense in the Ramah. He doesn't. The truth is, it's even like a little bit more difficult, because when he talks about what's the din if it's Eino Ben Yomo, so there he does like undermine it a little bit. There he says that if it's Eino Ben Yomo, so you need Me'at, right? Yesh Liklof HaBasar Me'at, Mishum Shamhunis. But when he talked about klisheni, he didn't say liklof ma'at, he says you need a klipa, right? Sounds a little bit like you really need a klipa. So, but maybe in Achinami, that ma'at is going on that as well. So answer number one is you're right, you shouldn't really need a klipa here, and it's just a chumrah. Answer number two, take a look at the gras, sifkat m'chathav. He says, what's the reason why you need a klipa? Take a look at chulin chasam at base. Over there, the Gemara says that if you shecht with a sakin shel nachrim, so let's assume, like over here, the sakin has some shamnunish shel isser on it, right? Not like the marshal that the shach slugs up. So we're talking about a case of a knife, a gaish knife, and let's say the knife, like we said, has some shamnunish shel isser on it. So Rav writes, you need to be kolef as beis hashchita. In other words, since you use the treif knife to shecht your animal, take a klipa off of the slaughtered meat at the point of contact with the knife on the neck. Now here's the question. If you recall from Simon Kofei, the Rashba proved from here that you see that there are blios in a klisheni. How? Because the beis hashchitas pachos miyatso ledispo, and still the Gemara says you need a klipa. Shma mina, says the Rashba, that even pachos miyatso ledispo, there is blios. And that was the Rashba's big chiddush, that it's shayach blios, even pachos miyatso ledispo. We learn out from that case that sakin shel goy needs a klipa, a general principle that there are blios, even pachos miyatso ledispo. Now, do we accept that Rashba? We saw no. Simon Kofei, we don't paskin like the Rashba. So, well, what about his raya? Isn't it a good raya? So the Gra told us in Simon Kofei that the way will be docha, that raya from the Rashba is to say docha de sakina. Ah, so now we have the basis for this Rama. What's the pshat? That even though you're right, we reject the Rashba, that pachos miad so ledispo, there aren't blios. Or klisheni, there aren't blios. But klisheni, or chom beis hashchita, plus docha de sakina, there are some blios. How much? Klipa. So to that degree, we'll accept the Rashba. So what we see here is yet another application, potential application of docha de sakina. What Yael have to do is start keeping a list of when we apply docha de sakina. It's one of those, like, you know, if you can't explain the halacha, well, see if you could blame it on docha de sakina. So what have we seen so far in Sif Zayin? We brought in docha de sakina, according to the Beis Yosef, in the first answer of the Shach, to say that even though it's tzli and should only go in a tila, docha de sakina says it travels throughout. Now we have another application. Even though it's klisheni or pachos miyat to levis bahal, but what does docha de sakina do? It brings it in a klipa. So we have two new applications. Both of them are not explicit in Shas, at the very least, as to what docha de sakina is capable of doing. And both of these applications are questionable, right? So let's keep in mind, we have the classical case of docha de sakina by Sakin Shalbasar Shachatach Tznon. Even that, again, there's the question of whether the knife is dirty or not, to the Lashonos and Rashi. We have the Rabbeinu Peretz going to the Beis Yosef, that it spreads the Blios throughout. Now we have the Gra explaining the Rama, that Docha the Sakina plus Klisheni slash Yatzaladis Bo Asers a Klipa. And that's going to be important also, right? If you, goes back to the Shaila, you have a, you use a Fleishig knife to cut, clean fleshic knife to cut your lasagna that's a klisheni. What's halach? You have to worry about a klipa? So, according to this gra, and l'char the Rama, you'd have to take off a klipa of your lasagna. No, you wouldn't, because it's ain't no ben yomo, right? So forget that. But if it was a ben yomo fleshic knife, then you would. Okay.
In case lasagna is soft, there's no dough.
So that's a question that we're going to deal with Be'ezras Hashem in Sinan Sarivav, right? Do we say docha de sakina in every case? Right, one of the interesting things, if you remember from that Prisha that we quoted just now, is he says, why, how does he explain Rabbeinu Ephraim? I mean, not Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Peretz, in the tour that it spreads throughout? Oh, because it's such soft meat because it was cooked. So he's obviously assumed, can have it both ways, right? He's just...
soft meat, you have to push.
It's push. Good. So, excellent question. Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to do it, maybe... It seems reasonable to say that docha de sakina should only apply if it's very, or at least moderately, hard. But lasagna,
usually it's not.
Right? Should be soft. Okay, good. So we'll get to that in Sinan Sarivav. Great point. One final issue that comes up here in Simen Tzadi Dalet Sif Zayin, and that is the issue of milsa dilo ramya. A very important question. There's a principle that comes up mostly in Chosh and Mishpat. For example, in the Halachos of Eidos, in the Chosh and Mishpat, Simen Ayin Tes Sif Yud Aleph, that there's a certain assumption that if a person will not remember what happened, if it's inconsequential. And even if they say buriedly, for example, they say, I am 100% sure that I didn't borrow money from you next to this table. And then Adam come and testify to the contrary, I'm not going to be Hufsa Kafran because maybe I just didn't remember. Because the table, the fact that that it was next to the table is really inconsequential. Now, before we get to the Machlokas Shach, Taz, Pischei Tshuva, Noda Bihuda, in terms of our simen, how that applies, I'll just mention in Hilchos Nida, how this comes up, and then we'll get to our simen. In Simen Kuf Tzadi of Yerudea, the Shulchan Aruch deals with halachos of Ksamim. So, for example, let's say three women were sitting on a bench, and there's a kesem found on the bench, So we have no choice but to asur all three women, because we have to asur one of them, and we can't really choose which one. Who knows? Was it woman one, two, or three? We can't say they're all mutter, so we have to asur them. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, if one of them says, Bari Li, I am certain that I did not sit on this spot, so then she is muteres. Asks the Taz over there, Sifkatan Mem. 1 second. How could she say Bari Li? Milsa de lo Ramya. Kol Milsa de lo Ramya Ale de Inshi Lava Daite. Meaning to say, when she's sitting on the bench, it doesn't really matter to her where she's sitting, right? She's sitting on a bench watching a movie. Who cares whether she was on this spot or not this spot? So even though she says afterwards, Bari Li, I was not on this spot, but why should she be Nemenes? It's Milsa de lo Ramya. Says the Taz, Al Korchacha, you have to say that this is talking about Zman Katzar. And therefore, since it was right afterwards, then we don't apply the principle of Milsa de lo Ramya for a short term. In other words, yes, if I say yesterday, I know I was not by this bench, right? I was not by this amud. And then turns out there's Eidim that say, yesterday you were by that amud, so I'll say Milsa de lo Ramya. But if I say, in the last 30 seconds, I don't know where you draw the shear for Zman Katzar, but in the last 30 seconds, I was not sitting on this part of the bench, so we don't apply the principle of Milsa de lo Ramya. Especially, Kevin Shudavar Shena Ragil Katzas, and it's Zman Katzar. That's the answer of the Taz. Good? The Shach over there disagrees. And the Shach says that which we say, Milsa de lo Ramya, that's when there's no potential halachic nafgamina. But when there's a potential halachic nafgamina, even though at the time that issue was not something they were aware of yet, so then any time they say bari li, they're believed. So whether I stood by Amud Ploni or not has no halachic relevance ever, any time ever. So therefore, we say about whether I stood next to this Amud Ploni or not, Kol Milsa de lo Ramya Le Dinshi Lama Daite. But since a woman always knows that if you find Samim under you, you could be Kana Surah, and therefore it's always, she could have in the back of her mind, I better pay attention to where I sit just because Kesa might be discovered here. So therefore, if she says Bari Li, she's believed. Now, L'chora, the Shach, and the Taz over there are L'shitaso over here. If you take a look at the Maharshal, quoted by the Shach and the Taz on our Sif, the Shach is Sif Katan Chaf Ches. So according to the Maharshal, a person is not Naman to say which part of the knife I cut. Right, let's take our case of the Shulchan Aruch. You cut a piece of meat with a milchige knife. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you need shishim keneged the knife. Now what about if you say, I only use this part of the knife, the blade is 6 inches long, but the only part of the knife that I cut with are the middle 3 inches. So I only need shishim keneged those 3 inches. We don't accept cham etzas el cham kulal, so we're makel as long as keneged the 3 inches. So the Marshal said, no, you can't say that. Why? Because when I'm cutting this meat with the milchig knife, do I know that the knife's milchig? Of course not. Otherwise, I wouldn't have cut with it. And now, later on, it's discovered to be milchig. So I'm not believed to say that I only use these 3 inches. Because it's milsa de lo ramya. And who accepts this? The Taz. And who rejects this? The Shach. The Shach and our Simon. So the Shach and the Taz seem to be l'shitaso. Over here. Sif Zion. Which Sif Katan? You got it?
No, but he says Afim Yom Barley should not aim them.
Right. So he's quoting what?
No, the very last one. He says you have to say Barley that
I did. Vatim Yomar Barley Shalochatahti Rakim Akumze Aino Naman. He accepts the Marshal there that we say Kol Milsa de lo Ramya. Yeah, Tazis L'shitaso Hilchos Nida and in Hilchos Bas V'chalav. And the Shach is L'shitaso in Hilchos Nida and Hilchos Bas V'chalav. Now. What? Yeah. Good. Okay. So now. So this question is, yeah. Yeah, in Achanami, the Shach Taz might agree if I just said in the last 10 seconds that this didn't happen. This Taz also needs to say, Eino Ragil Tzas. So it would depend on how knives are usually cut. But let's say Eino Ragil, it's common to only cut with part of the knife, and it was 1 second ago, so you, if you put the two Tazes together, you might say you'd be believed if it was just a couple seconds ago. Fine. Now, this question is very Nogeya Halach L'maisa. A lot of times, a shoel asks a question, and you give that, they give you an answer. Right? Let's talk about the question we discussed at the beginning. Did you ever use, they say, I cut my knife with a milchig onion. I cut my onion with a milchig knife, and then I put the knife into chicken. I put the knife. Put the onion into chicken soup. Great. So the first question I'm going to ask is, well, what did you ever use the knife for? Right? And they say, I asked them, you know, did you ever use this knife to cut a hot lasagna? Right? After all, there's a pretty good chance that something that people think is a hot, is a milchig knife, is not actually milchig's kli rishon, right? Maybe they used it to cut cold cheese, right? But they didn't use it to cut kli rishon. So they think back. They said, well, you know, we got married 11 months ago. Got this knife in the last 11 months, I'm sure. I never used this knife for Milchig's Kli Rishon. Great. Could you believe them? Or do we say, it's Milchig Lo Ramya? Maybe you did and you forgot about it because you weren't thinking about it because it's a Milchig knife. So there was no halachic relevance at that time. And now, Epis, it comes up, so you shouldn't be believed. So maybe if you say like the Shach, you would be believed. If you say like the Taz and the Marshal, maybe you wouldn't be believed. All sorts of questions has come up. In Sif Aleph, we saw this question, how far into the bowl did you tip the spoon, right? If you say, oh, I only used the tip of the spoon, do you have credibility? In terms of Hilchos Nida Shaila, somebody asked a Shaila, and you say, oh, well, you know, she found a Chves, a Kesem on toilet paper after, how did you, were you rushing? Were you not rushing? All sorts of questions. So do people go ahead, and did you really have to go? Was it a little, a lot, right? Do we, when people aren't aware of the halachic significance of a particular act, or at the time that the act took place, there didn't seem to be halachic significance, they say afterwards, Bar Ili, X, Y, and Z, do they have credibility? This would seem to be a machlokas between a Shach and a Taz. The Note of Yehuda, which is cited at the Pischei Tshuva at the very beginning of our Siman, Sif Katan Aleph, I believe, throws in a third possibility. It says, maybe we will say that if you say Bar Ili about something and you're aware of the halacha, even though at the time that the shaila took place, you weren't aware that this was a shaila, but you still knew the halacha, meaning say, I knew the halacha is that if you cut with a milchik knife, you need shishim keneged the area of the knife that you cut. Or I know, you know, the halacha that if you dip in a milchik spoon into a fleishig bowl, you need shishim keneged the amount of the spoon that went in. I knew the halacha, but I wasn't aware that it was a shaila at the time. I thought I was using a fleishig spoon for a fleishig bowl. Turned out an hour later, I find out it was actually a milchik spoon. So then, the Note of Yehuda says, then we will believe you. And there's a whole nafkamina over there for trefos, a person couldn't, there was a certain trefa, shaila and a trefa that arose at the time. They didn't know it was a shaila. They say, Bar Ili, you can't shack now. So if you know the halachan theory, then you have credibility. Now, so it's more machmir than a simple understanding of the shach, because the shach sounds like anytime you say Bar Ili, at least if it's something that that's the Shach doesn't say this is only if you're aware that this might be halachically relevant, but at the same time, as Savara, it makes a lot more sense. Because if we're going to say the Pshat in the Shach is that Bar Ili is believed because there's potential halachic relevance, so that's only if I know that this is a potentially halachically relevant issue, right? So it's true, this woman says, yeah, I know we didn't use this knife for Kli Rishon for the last 11 months since we got it. But She doesn't really know that like halachically it's going to make a difference. She's never heard of any of this stuff. So then the Noda Behuda might say she's not believed. Take a look. The Noda Behuda claims there's a raya to this from the Shach. The Shach at the beginning of our simon says that if you're not sure how far in the spoon went, so then we assume whatever is the norm, right? But the implication is that if you know that it only, let's say, went in the tip, you'd be believed. The Pischei Tshuva doesn't like the Noda Behuda. He thinks that the Shach would only be Mekel in a Din D'Rabbanan. He doesn't think the Diuk from the Shach at the beginning is a good Diuk. And therefore, at least when it comes to Dinim D'Oraisa, the Pischei Tshuva thinks maybe you should have to be Machmir on this Shaila. Take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Katan Beis. He's Mekel like the Shach all the way without even the limitations of the Noda Behuda. He writes, Avok Sheomer Ad Kama Tachav, how far in you dipped a spoon, Neman, Velo Aminan Milsa de lo Ramya Le de Inchi Lava Daite, De Bemaisa Shaadim Osibi Adayim Le Tashmisho, Daito Alzeh. And he says, with this, the Kashas of the Prima Gadim are answered. Not the Prima Gadim, the Pischei Tshuva. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, very simple. The whole Shaila, and this is how he understands the Shach, the whole Shaila from Milsa de lo Ramya is irrelevant. Milsa de lo Ramya is only about things that just happen to come about. But when it comes to things that a person does, be a dayim letashmisho, in other words, walking by Amud Ploni is not letashmishi. Was it happened here or not? But anything that's be a dayim letashmisho, like how far in the spoon went, or how much of the knife I used to cut, or what I used this knife for, so then there's full-fledged credibility. Then the Shacham Kofzadi is another point. So according to this, one could be Meiko. Ezra Bei Willig, how do we paskin on this type of Shaila? So he said he thinks it's probably a Suffolk. In other words, if it's a D'Oraisa Shaila, and this is all that you're relying on, and they say, Bari Li, that this didn't happen, but it's really a Milsa de lo Ramya. In other words, especially if they don't know that this is halachically important, right? Like the Noda Behuda says, it's hard to be Mekel. But, and a lot of times these questions, like we've seen today in a couple of these questions, are really derabbanan shailas, in which case we might be Mekel to trust what happened. Because yeah, naniach, their bari li isn't the vadai. But you don't need a vadai here.
But it's part of the story before, like, that where they touch the hand.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So Ad Kan Siv Zayin. Yeah.
In this din, is there a difference? Is it that the posek cannot trust the person, or like with the person himself, let's say it happens to
I think it's the same thing. In other words, if you, let's say, hold to the Machmir position, the Taz, the Marshal, the Pesvei Tshuva, and the like, it's not like we think the person's intentionally lying. I don't think so. For these matters, we assume the person is telling the truth. Kol Milsa de lo Ramya is saying that you might have forgotten, right? Actually, nobody's trying to be a Rashi here. Everybody's trying to keep the halacha. But things that are inconsequential, so I may do them without paying attention. And therefore, the fact that after the fact I say barili, so that doesn't help. So I don't think it makes a difference. I'm a posek myself, and I know I say barili, but if you hold like the Taz, since at the time about which I'm discussing, I wasn't aware that it was a Shaila, so we'd still say Milsa de lo Ramya. Yeah?
I'm just clear about the Aruch HaShulchan. The Shach here is saying that only when it's a Maisa B'Yadayim, we don't say Milsa de lo
Ramya. Maisa B'Yadayim L'Tashmisha. Here's his Lashon. Alok Sha'omer Ad Kama Tachav Ne'aman V'lo Amina Milsa de lo Ramya Le D'Inshi La V'Adayte D'B'Maisa Sheha'adam Ose B'Yadayim L'Tashmisha Daito Alzeh. Now again, it still only works if you say barili. But anything that's osa biyadayim letashmisho, if I know this is the way I do it, because I always stick spoons in this way, or I think this time I stuck spoons, if I'm willing to say barili, then I'm believed to say barili, because it's osa biyadayim letashmisho.
And And then in Hilchos Nidah is saying even a maaseh that's memela, if it's something that has a nachmil halacha, so then...
Right, maybe. Maybe. The Shach here, the Aruch HaShulchan here does not discuss Hilchos Nidah. Probably it would be a good idea to look at the Aruch HaShulchan and Siman Kuf Tzadi and see if he comments. But maybe.
I mean, I don't know where the Tzimit Tzadi goes. I mean, you're saying that he goes that way because he ends off that way. He does quote the Tzimit Tzadi saying that you only can get the, what you stuck in, only can get the, what the,
you mean in Sif Aleph?
No, it's where he
here,
in
Zion.
Maybe in Heretic,
right, right. But he thinks, sounds like he's basketing like the Marshal. Certainly, based on what he says in Hilchos Nidah, it's meduyak to say in both places. You're correct. It's a lot of times when the Shach and the Taz quote the Marshal, it's hard to know, does that mean they accept it, or they're just quoting it so you know what they say?
And one thing, and you're saying it's not Megil Chaboch. I mean, so why else do we want to know it? I mean, what are the examples that are in the only when it's not
Noyel Allah,
originally you said that.
Yeah.
Well, what are the examples of
not Noyel Allah? But Sadam would pull me. Mani, he will see Chabad. That's where the Shulchan Aruch, that's where Shas talks about it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah, he doesn't become Ochsakash. That's where it appears in Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara. So it's only in those types of cases, maybe. Okay. Fine. Sif Ches. So, Rabbeinu Yerucham, cited in the Shulchan Aruch, says a fascinating thing. We go from a huge chumrah, that when you cut a knife, Rabbeinu Peretz, it's a hot piece of meat with a knife, it's bolea everywhere. From one extreme, a huge chumrah in Siv Zayin, to a huge kula in Siv Ches, says the Shulchan Aruch, from Rabbeinu Yerucham. Enough al etanur pnadish gvina, afilu lacha, eino oser elekadei klipa. Now, what does this mean? So, it's very unclear, and there's two major explanations. The simple understanding...
What's the case?
That's what we're discussing. What is the case? So the simple understanding is it sounds like you have cheese that fell on panadish. Panadish is fleishik, so it's meat pie or something like that. So, but that's the question. So you have milk that fell on the panadish, and that sounds like it's saying that still... That cheese, sorry, not milk, cheese, only asers a klipa of the pnadish. Now, l'chora, that's tamua. Why? Because, again, you should need a netila, right? Like the previous sif, but they're going the opposite way. Here, the halacha should be netila, we need a klipa. Sif zayin, the halacha should have been netila, we said kula. Here, you should have needed a netila, we say klipa. What's going on here? What's the reason? Why would you need only a klipa when your cheese fell on your panadish? So Rabbeinu Yerucham, who's the source for this halacha, tells you the answer, and this is the way Rabbeinu Yerucham is explained by the Shach, that gvina is unusual. Why? Because it's ein darka likanes kolkach. Most foods, even without liquids, get in a netila, but cheese is unusual. It only goes in a klipa. It's not very pushy. Stays on the surface. The way the Prima Gadim says is that gvina is chusha betiva, and it's gush me'od, meaning to say it's very hard, right? We're talking here about a piece of cheese that, like, imagine a brick of Parmesan cheese, right? So, brick of Parmesan cheese, it only stays, even though it touches a hot piece of meat or a hot piece of pnadish, it still only goes in a klipa. It's not mefapeya yosir michde klipa. Now, this is a big chiddush, because when we look in Shas, we don't find a chiluk between gvina and other foods. And moreover, Ari pointed this out to me last night, in the Ramah, in Siman Sadi Aleph, if anything, you see the opposite. Remember the Ramah in Siman Sadi Aleph, Sif Hei, said that Basu gvina meluchim shenagu zeh bezeh misharin b'shishim. In other words, we're chochish that the gvina is mefapeh b'kulo. And here, all of a sudden, we say, not only is gvina kachosh, but it's super duper, duper kachosh. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, like we said, is that this distinction, that there's even such a category, doesn't appear in Shas. But that's the way the Shach understands Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, because the reason for this leniency is that Gavina is super duper kachosh and the like, does it say no nechnas kol kach? So the Shach Sivkat Lamed Bey says, then there's going to be and it's not going to be equal. Yes, the Gavina itself, now I said before it's a brick of Parmesan, but it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it's even if it's soft cheese. Yes, the Gvina itself only goes in the meat, a klipa, but how much is the meat going to go into the Gvina? An atila, right? Because basar doesn't have this property. So yes, the Shulchan Aruch says that the panadish is only asar bechtei klipa, but what about the Gvina? The Gvina will be asar bechtei netila. And the Dagla Mervava adds that ledidan, that we think everything is shamein, so then the Gvina will be kulo asar, right? So we'll have a very unusual situation where the basar is aser bechtei klipa, but the gvina is kulo aser. Now, that is understanding one of this halacha. From the Beis Yosef, it sounds a little bit like we're talking about a situation where it doesn't land on the Pnadish, but on the Kedera, or what the Shulchan Aruch calls the Tanur Pnadish. Tanur Pnadish doesn't mean the Pnadish, it means the Tanur Pnadish. And this is the way the Taz learns explicitly. So this cheese did not land on the meat, it lands on a kli. Now according to this, in a chanami, if the cheese fell on the panadish, you would need netila, or maybe kulo, depending on whether it was shami. But if it lands on the tanur panadish, if it lands on a kli, so that's when the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you need only a klipa. Now even within this explanation, there's a question whether this is the norm or the exception. Again, according to the Shach's reading, it's definitely the exception. If you learn like the Taz, Yesh L'Stapik, is this the norm? Namely, that things that land on a kli hot still only go a klipa in? Or is it the exception? Usually, if you had a chves, a piece of meat, hot piece of meat lands on a hot plate, it would go in a kedei netila. But cheese is unusual. Like Rabbeinu Yerucham said, it's a very, it's not nechnas kol kach, and therefore, here it only goes in a klipa when it lands on a kli. So this is a machlokas. I would have said, the simple reading, if you accept the Taz, is that this is the exception. After all, Rabbeinu Yerucham did tell us that this is unusual. Maybe the Prima Gadim learns this way, seems to go back and forth a little bit. But the simple reading, I would have said, is that this is the exception, right? So if Gvina landed on the Panadish itself, it would need an Atila or Kula. If it lands on a Kli, it needs a Klipa. Anything else that lands on a Kli might need an Atila. However, the way the Chazon Ish, Simen Chaf Bei, Sivka, and Vav learns, that no, we always say this, that Kalim and Ochel are different. When it comes to food, landing on food, assuming that there's no rota, if it's not an issue of bishul, it's an issue of sli, it only is nivla, kedei, netila. But when it comes to a kli, kalim are not as absorbent as food, and therefore, kalim only absorb a klipa. Now the problem is what I asked, which is Rabbeinu Yerucham says this is an unusual halacha because of the nature of cheese. According to Chazon Ish, I just told you, this is the regular halacha. So the Chazon Ish says, no, you might have thought that since this is soft cheese, as the Shulchan Aruch says, so that's going to be like a liquid. A liquid for sure goes in more than a klipa. So you might have thought that since this is soft cheese, it goes in more than a klipa. No, only a klipa. But lemaisa, all food only is nivla klipa. Right, so this is very important. Halach l'maisa. Let's say, anytime you're dealing with a kli, right, a plate, l'mashal. So even if you sometimes use this plate as a kli rishon, like we said, you put it in the microwave, right? So how much milchix or fleishix is absorbed into the plate? And enough to mean that sometimes you might need to calculate what shishim is. So if you learn like the Chazon Ish, assuming that your plate was only with solids, so the Chiddush is that foods only get absorbed one klipa into a kli, and therefore if you ever needed to be mevatel it, you'd only need shishim keneged the klipa, as opposed to shishim neged netila. Now, interestingly enough, when I was learning this with Ari last night, he said, one second, simin tzadi beis, we say the opposite. We say that blios are mifapeya all over the place, right? If you have the tipas chalav that lands lamalam in a rotev, we assume it spreads all over the place. You need shishim, keneged shishim, if you're to pour it out that way. So how do we justify this chazanish? So Lachar, you'll say two answers. Number one is that's tipas chalav, right? Chazanish agrees that rotev spreads throughout. The chiddush of our simen is that if it's something that's a solid, it remains within the klipa. And moreover, you might have also said, like the shach, that over there the blios and the grud, that there the blios are spreading throughout because of the esh. Here, there's no esh. Okay. Now, the Chazon Ish writes this despite the dochak in his explanation, because he thinks that the shach's understanding is tamua. He writes, Hadavar tema, kevin de kol cham bala de lo rotev oser kedei netila, right, that's the halacha, normally, right, when we're talking about where it lands on food. Minayin lanu shiyatza sagvina mikol ochlin sheba'olam shelo tavliya ve'ein derech ha-rishonim lekubawa halacha belo mekor begemara. In other words, the Rishonim don't just make up a new category of halacha. In halacha, in the Shas, we know that Sli is always Kedei Netila. At least that's the way we pass it. Truth is, even that's unclear. It might only be Klipa. But we assume that the Gemara says that Sli is always Netila. So how could you make up your own category? If the Gemara said, yes, some foods go in by Sli Netila, some Klipa, so then a Rishon could go ahead and say, oh yeah, cheese is in the category of the Klipa type because it's very Kachosh or whatever. But since there is no such category in Shas, to say that a Rishon, like Rabbeinu Yerucham, made up a whole new category, so that is not the Derech of Rishonim, and therefore he rejects the Shach. Now one or two other small points. According to the Shach, the Mechaber over here, according to the Chazon Ish, and also the Gra, the Mechaber over here disagrees with the Rashba. The Rashba is quoted in Shach Sifkat and Lamed Gimel, that Kli is sometimes Oser Bichdei Netila. However, the Shach understood that there's no machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rashba, and here it's different because it's Yavish Lagamri. So what comes out, according to the Shach, is that if you have Davar Naguv Lagamri, right, then it's Aser's Kedei Klipa. If you have something that's not Naguv Lagamri, like a piece of meat, so then it's Kedei Netila on a plate, or on food. And if it's Davar Lach, then it's Mifapea Bekulo. One other interesting point that comes up from the Shach is like this. Remember, we know, okay, the Shach says, again, you have this cheese that lands on the panadish. So cheese lands on meat, how much becomes Aser, even though everything's hot? Kedei Klipa. Now remember, the Shach holds that Bas B'chalav Yisr Balur Yisr Machmas Atzmo. He's choshesh, at least for the run. It says a machmas atzmo. So shouldn't one klipa aser the next klipa? Now there's the first klipa is bolei achalav. Good. So it's nas in the veila. It's pas b'chalav mamish. Now it's true, the chalav will assume, because of the metzius of chalav, it's kachosh ad me'od, doesn't leave that klipa. But the meat from that outer klipa will go and aser the next klipa. You'll tell me, one second, in a nesar. I'll tell you, in a nesar. That makes sense for an iser balua. But the Shach is choshish, the Pasuk Chalav is the Nisr Machmas Atzmo. So why, according to the Shach, does one klipa not aser the next klipa? I'm not bothered in the Mechaber. The Mechaber doesn't hold that way. The Mechaber holds like the Rashba, that even Pasuk Chalav is Nisr Balua. But according to the Shach, it's shver, and the Shach yet accepts this halacha, that it's only a klipa. So the hard answer is that the Shach is based off of the Ran, so you can't be more machmir than the Ran. And the Ran himself says that midoraisa, there's no such thing as Pasuk Chalav klipa, because it's derech tzli, it's not derech bishul. There's only chanan midaraisa by derech bishul, and therefore, when the rabbanon were machmir, they were only machmir in cases where in shar yisurim, but even here too, where it could lead to bas b'chalav deraisa, and therefore ukmua ad deoraisa here, and we don't aser more than a klipa because we're dealing with bas b'chalav derabbanon. Bas b'chalav derabbanon basically according to the Shach, we're arguing we're going to treat as an Isser Balua. Right? And therefore we're willing to say Ein Hanasar. Fine. Okay, so that brings us to the end. Sif test we already did when we talked about the Nosin Tam of Gam and our Hanukkah party, right, when we meet with honey. So we'll go back to that. So, Be'ezus Hashem, on Wednesday, we will begin with Simen Tzadi Hei. Just a dracha. I recommend that, like all new sugyos, but especially here, you start with the Shas, the Gemara, and the Rishonim. So try to start with the Gemara and Rishonim. Maybe do Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Ramban, Ritva. If you have a chance, do Rashba. If not, you could rely on the Rashba and Tarsabayas over Chidushim. If you don't have a chance to see all of that, at least see the Ramban and the Gemara.
Can we start with Sif Hei also?
We will get back to Tzadi Dal with Sif Hei, though not at the beginning. We are going to start with Tzadi Hei Sif Aleph. But hopefully, we'll remember to get back to Tzadi Dalet Sif Hei. So again, at the very least, for next Chabura, make sure you've seen the Ramban and the Rashba and Tarsabayas, and hopefully a little more than that. Okay. Somebody have a question before? Yeah.
Kazmish is saying that a Kli can only be Molei HaKli, but does it go the other way also? A Kli can only be Molei HaKli, but it's a food?
I would assume not. Right? In other words, I don't think you could extrapolate one from the other. Okay. Shkayach.